broadcasting from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. You are now entering the Cave of Solitude.
Shoosh.
What's shoosh?
The entrance.
Is that the entrance to the cave?
Shoosh.
Shoosh.
I am your host, Eric Anthony, and the shoosher in the background,
Lady J.
We are back like we left something. We've been gone for a while, but we are back.
We're back, like, with a vengeance.
With a vengeance.
Like sunshine after the rain.
Exactly.
Right?
Well put, Daph J. Now, as I always ask every episode, what's going on, Daph J?
I still don't know how to answer that. Except. Okay. Except.
Except.
Except. We watched the movie.
Have you read any books?
No.
No. You're playing games like crazy on your phone lately.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? You want to tell me about this game that I can't get you off of?
I downloaded this app.
Yeah.
It's called Brain It On. It's educational.
You know what?
It exercises your brain.
I've played it. I like it. It's addictive.
It is.
It's addictive.
It does drain my battery though. So when I have to make an emergency phone call, I'm screwed. I'm stuck.
Stranded.
And I will not use a payphone. I refuse to do that. First of all, I'm not paying 75 cents or whatever it costs. Also, they're nasty.
People using a payphone nowadays?
It's weird.
Right?
I've seen one person do it in 5 years.
No, but I'm saying, now that everyone's got their own phone, the people who are having to use payphones, what kind of ilk are these people?
Ilk?
That's right. What kind of ilk are people? Staff J, how come you never asked me what I've read?
Because you're reading all the time. I don't even know if you would remember what you read.
I always ask you what's going on with you, what's new with you. You never once say,
because you're going to have a plethora of things. I've read this, I read that, I read that. Or you're not even going to remember what you read.
Right.
What's the last thing you read?
Last thing I read was a graphic novel from J. Michael Straczynski's Thor. That's the last thing I read. That was yesterday. And as well, yesterday I also read Black Science Volume 4. And I also finished Greg Rucka's Lazarus yesterday. Yeah, you're right. I'm reading a lot, but all of them, very, very good. Highly recommend the Image Comics Lazarus. It's more adult in nature. It's not recommended for your children, but it is very good.
Okay.
Highly recommend it.
So what did you say, Black Science?
Black Science. Rick Remender.
That's not recommended for kids?
Most Image titles I wouldn't recommend for kids.
So when you say Image.
Yeah.
This is what, an independent?
It's another comic book publisher. They don't operate the same way that Marvel and DC do, meaning that whatever things are coming out from Image Comics, they don't exist in like a universe. The way.
They're just stories?
They are creator-owned ideas, characters, stories.
So if I had an idea, I can pitch it to them and they might do it?
Yep.
Really?
But what you would have to do is put up the money up front to you know, pay the artist or the production of it, and then they distribute it for you. And because it's an Image imprint and they're recognized,
it would do well.
It doesn't necessarily do well, but it gets a little bit more of attention.
Recognition?
Yeah. So the stuff that comes out of Image a lot of times can be way too adult in nature, even for my tastes. But if if you're picky and choosy the way I am, I kind of look into stuff a little more. The majority of stuff coming from Image Comics is really good.
Okay.
But buyer beware, you might see something you may not be comfortable with. So be selective.
Because do they not follow under the comic book code of certain things?
I don't think that exists anymore. But. The comic code, but because they're not owned by Image, the creator can basically be like, yeah, I want this book to have
explicit material.
Extremely explicit material, not just like swear words. They could have everything.
Oh.
Like there's no limits.
Okay.
So, yeah. You could get some really good stuff from it, and you could get some questionable things from it.
Hmm.
But the storytelling is free, right? The writers are, there's nobody that's saying, no, you can't make Spider-Man do that. We don't want him to go that direction. We need him to go here because his movie's coming out. So a lot of the best comic book writers all go to Image and give them their best work after they've worked with Marvel and DC.
Can anyone who... Oh, after they've worked.
Well, they usually gain a little bit of notoriety working there.
Attention. So they, someone from DC can't just do their own little thing on the side and do something with the Image people?
Yeah, they...
Like, even though they're contractually bound to do work for DC or Marvel?
No, they can work for... They can do something on their own whenever they like. Okay. Because they're putting up the money for it.
Right.
Right, so... Okay. That's where a lot of the attention these days is going for comics, all this independent, creator-owned kind of stuff.
Hmm.
So, yes, Black Science, Lazarus. Not for your kids, but it's very good. We saw a movie. You said that. A highly anticipated movie for you?
So-so. I think I was more just like, oh, I that's another one I gotta watch.
Do you want to tell them what the movie was?
X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men Apocalypse. It's a
I month... I almost said Revelation.
This is a year so far filled with comic book movies, and we're not even at the halfway point yet. And by the end of... Or at the beginning of June, another one's coming out. One that you're dying to see.
I am?
Yeah. Really? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 2.
That...
You want to get into... You want to get into the... To the review... X-Men Apocalypse?
No.
You don't want to?
No.
Why?
Because we still have stuff to talk about before that.
Okay, let's get into it. Yeah. Let's talk about it. What do you want to talk about, Daph J?
Previews.
Oh, previews to the movie.
Yeah.
Fair enough. There were a couple of interesting previews there. Which of the previews that you've seen tickled your fancy?
Not many. And
what do you want to talk about? We gotta talk about previews. No, I don't want to.
I was kind of disappointed. They showed Independence Day 2.
Yeah.
What's the name of it now?
I don't know. Remember the episode we did last? Or a few episodes ago? Remember that? Top 5 movies should be remade? We should have put Independence Day.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be remade.
Now, is this a remake or is it a sequel?
It's a sequel.
Okay. Now, this is my problem with what I did see in the last, I don't know, maybe 45 seconds, because for the first 15, some douchebags were talking throughout the whole preview.
Tell me about that. Can I tell the story, since I witnessed it?
Sure.
Okay, so, everyone knows me and Daph J are husband and wife, right? It's a husband and wife podcast, the best one on the web. But, me being the man, I don't get into fights when we go places. I don't have to. Because Daph J is the bodyguard. She is the one who will... I gotta hold her back. If someone is rude to me, if someone cuts me off in traffic, I don't gotta honk the horn. I've got a third arm coming through and taking care of business, all that kind of stuff. So, we were at the movies today, and in our row... Mind you, this was a matinee, so there isn't a lot of people in the theater. But in our row, we happen to have these two chatterboxes in their native tongue speaking up a storm at a volume that is completely unnecessary for a movie theater.
And let me say, this is why it was such an annoyance, because for myself, I don't know for anybody else, I get annoyed for people that come in during previews. For me, previews is a part of the whole movie experience. I get more excited about the previews than I do about the movie. Because I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? And you get like pumped for what's coming next. Yeah. I get excited. I like to enjoy my preview watching experience. And now it's being disrupted by these people who are trying to compete with the sound of said preview. This is a movie theater. It's already exponentially, you know, like surround sound. And these guys, I can hear them. I can hear what they're saying.
You don't know what they're saying. You just hear noise.
I don't know. But they're just going at laughing and back and forth. And I'm just like, and I keep looking. And I'm like, no, don't. Don't ruin it for yourself. Don't get kicked out. Don't embarrass your husband. Just stay focused. And, you know, to be honest, and I'm still ticked about it, because I don't even remember the first, and I let it go. The first two previews, I don't even know what they were. But then, I'm like, okay, I've had just about enough. So, I put an end to it.
Imagine, I think maybe this works for me because I've been watching the show recently a little bit more than usual, but a scene out of Seinfeld where, you know, imagine Elaine in the theater. Hey! Hey, you, over here. I'm trying to listen, okay? Shut up. Silence. She, for the whole theater. I thought they would applaud you. No one did. They should have.
No one did. I think they would have probably wanted to say something themselves, because they were really loud. It was so disruptive and disrespectful to people's time and money and experience. I don't like that. So, for anyone out there, when you go to the movies, can you just please keep it down?
I don't think we need to tell people that.
Sometimes you do.
Don't be a Tommy Talker.
Sometimes you do. But you know what? That's what I'm saying. They have those illustrations, and yet there's still those morons out there that just don't get it. So, just, you know.
Or if you don't get it, we're going to sick Daft J on you. And you're going to.
He was surprised. He was taken aback. And then he apologetically, like, did this thing, like, where he was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe it was
almost bowed to me. He almost did a little bow.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Like maybe it was the wombat shirt you wore to the theater that day. They were just like, well, we don't want to mess with the lady with the wombat shirt.
Yeah, I was going to like swoop in. And just like
swoosh.
Swoosh. I was going to swoosh in. Yeah. So just, you know, folks, please just be courteous to those around you. You know, I paid the same money that you did. Just keep it down. And if you take kids with you, and this time we didn't VIP it, we VIP'd Captain America, and because we were doing a matinee on the first day, we thought, you know, we're going to beat out the crowd, and we did. There was nobody in there, but these two schmucks decided to come. Just, please, just be courteous to the neighbors around you. Just shut up.
Tell me the preview. Talk about the previews.
The preview, then, was Independence Day, so I missed most of it, because I was, you know, annoyed and then vocal. And then I was just, like, watching it, and I'm thinking, what's going on? And it's, and I'm thinking, and there's fire, and there's just things melting, and, like, just chaos, just complete chaos. And I'm like, I can't, I'm dizzy. Like, this movie, I had no, it gave me no desire to watch it. So then I'm like, I yelled at them so hard, and I'm like, I don't care about this movie. But I was just kind of unimpressed and felt like it was just a waste of reiteration.
You know, I agree with you because I think Independence Day, the first one, it is what it is, and we all enjoy watching it when it's on TV every week, right? And it's fun to tune into and be able to watch it. And,
that's funny.
Right? Like, we see it a lot now. And when it came out, it was an awesome spectacle for the time. Now you watch it, you see, like, you know, the CGI is just, it's aged now. It's not the same. But it's still like, wow, they blew up the White House or all that kind of stuff. Very 90s. But I think what made it really cool when it came out was that there wasn't enough things genre-esque at that time. Sci-fi, aliens, fighting them, other than, you know, your occasional Star Trek movie that came out. But you didn't have any more real Star Wars movies yet. You didn't have any superhero movies yet, the way they make them now. So that movie was a spectacle, something to watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's like, you get this stuff all the time. What makes you think we're going to want to see this again after 20 years? Like, the story was done. You won the day. It doesn't need to be retold. What do we have? It's just like, and it's just mass destruction.
The thing. Like, okay, you want to blow up a building here and there. I get it. But, like, and you want to what? Like, you fought the war the first time. They came back. you probably want to just sit this one out.
You lost.
Just call defeat. Like, the white flag. Like, I mean, of course, that's not how we want to view life. You want to fight to the end. But, like, at the same time, like, this, it just painted a picture that I was just like, I'm doomed.
Yeah.
And I don't want to waste 2 hours of just doom.
Yeah.
So I was kind of disappointed with
and
that.
And there's
trailer.
No Will Smith.
And then I had to turn around and ask you quietly, because, you know, I yelled at these people. I'm like, "What is Will Smith in this movie?" And then you're like, "No." And I'm like, "What?" But there were a lot of
references.
Bringer backers.
Everybody's back pretty much except for him and Vivica Fox.
No, Vivica Fox is in it.
Really?
I saw her face in it. I'm probably making it up. Now you're making me second guess myself, but I'm almost 99.9%. I saw her face. She was in it.
Wow.
Yeah. The Goldblum was in it.
Goldblum, yeah.
Yeah. And like, the president was in it. Even the psycho scientist.
Yeah,
was, like,
yeah, yeah.
He still has the long hair.
Yeah.
He hasn't let that
20 years.
Like, he hasn't let that go.
Yeah.
Data. I guess little Nikki grew up and now he's the front runner. And, you know, Nyum Nyum's brother there. Thor's brother.
Oh.
Liam. Liam, yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name in The Hunger Games? Not PETA.
Oh my goodness.
Glenn. Nope. It was a girl's name. Doesn't matter. We know his real name.
Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah. It's bothering you now. I could see it.
It is bothering me. Why'd you have to do that? Ooh, I gotta pause the podcast now to figure it out. Check it out. Keep talking.
I am talking. I'm trying to figure out the name, too. Oh, my goodness.
People are shouting at us on the other end. This is ridiculous. Why do you gotta bring up Yum Yum? Like, you said, Yum Yum, who's Yum Yum? And you're referring to the Thor reference of Mjolnir. Oh, wow.
Gale!
Thank you. Good job. Wow.
I did it.
You did it. Gale.
I was close with Glenn.
Kind of.
Yeah. What other theater, what other trailer
Suicide Squad, but we've seen that before.
Yeah.
Different,
though, on the big screen.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was a little bit more, because I saw more Batman in it. Or was it the same one? And I just haven't seen it a lot, because we all know Daphne doesn't rewatch trailers.
Right. I think I've seen that one before. I'm going to watch it. I know I'm going to watch it. I don't have any expectations for it. I'm going into it with very low expectations because I want to be happy.
Will
Smith is in that one. He said, "I can't do Independence Day because I want to be part of comic book universe." So, we'll see. I mean, should be interesting where they go from BVS. I can only imagine it's going up. So, I'd like to see how they use Batman in that movie and the Joker.
Who's going to be that Batman? Have they revealed it? Is it Ben Affleck?
Yeah, it's Ben
Affleck.
It
is him.
Yeah, it's Ben Affleck. I don't know how much of it, a role he plays in the movie, but there's a lot of... Okay. I just want to segue for a second on going a little bit of a tangent in regards to the Joker. So you remember a couple episodes ago we made guesses about who the Joker would be in the comic books? Because they're going to reveal it?
Yeah.
So they revealed... The issue came out where they reveal it.
I don't want to know.
It doesn't tell you. It doesn't say a name.
So why would they say that they were going to do that?
Well, what is revealed to Batman is that... Can I tell you?
I don't want to know. You can tell them, but I don't want to know.
Okay, so...
I'll leave the room.
No, it's important for you to be here because I need to get your opinion on something for the Suicide Squad. So what was revealed to Batman that he doesn't believe, but he's going to explore it, is that... There's 3 Jokers.
What?
Yeah. There's been 3 Jokers. And he doesn't understand how that's possible. So, what some people have speculated to me in comic book shops and asking me questions, and I think it's on the internet rumors, is that the Jared Leto version of the Joker is actually going to be Jason Todd.
What?
Will have turned into the Joker. Or a version of the Joker.
Wait. What?
So you know how...
Okay, no, wait. What, in the books or in the movie?
In the movie.
In this movie?
In this movie. That's the rumor. that that's actually Jason Todd turned into the Joker, because this is an older Batman, right? And he, Jason Todd, was killed by the Joker. We know that from the scene that we see in BVS. There's the Robin costume with the ha ha ha, joke's on you, whatever. So this Joker could potentially not be the...
Okay, I'm sorry. Is this speculation? Is this just you chit-chatting at the comic shop?
Yeah.
Or this is stuff that you've come across?
It's going around. This is going around. Oh, the possibility that that's who it is. And because the next Batman movie that Ben Affleck is to direct and write is apparently Under the Hood.
No way. Like, in like real people? Flesh people?
Yeah.
No way. Yeah.
So perhaps you're going to try to flip it a little bit and say that...
They shouldn't do that.
That the, when he dies, instead of him actually dying, he becomes like...
No, he shouldn't do that.
I don't know.
They shouldn't make him the Joker. Do the Red Hood, but do not do that. Yeah. I really hope they don't do that.
Right. So that's why I'm asking. I don't know this version of the Joker, how it's going to affect the DC universe, what the relationship is with Batman, how he plays a part in this movie. I don't know. So that's why I wanted to share that with you. And that's the latest in comic book news, that the Joker has been said to be three people have been the Joker within the comic book universe. And Batman's going to dedicate himself to finding out what exactly.
See, but that I've always found the Joker to be older than Batman. Like he's always looked a little bit more aged than Bruce himself. So anyway, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand.
Yeah. So we'll see, because this is going to be all be part of the DC Rebirth, which was also released recently. Remember that big? We had a little bit of discussion about the. All the new comics and creators that are coming out with DC Rebirth, while they officially released the one-shot comic, 80 pages, from Geoff Johns, kind of cleaning up and setting up what's going to happen next, post New 52 era of DC Comics. And there's a bit of a shake-up of a couple characters. Some people died, some people are brought back. It's pretty cool how they're explaining who is the one who affected the Flashpoint. Remember the Flashpoint event that happened? You saw the movie?
Yeah.
So that was a comic book storyline, Flashpoint. But there was a person kind of messing around with DC Universe time that affected this reality that they existed in. And it's a deep cut for like a DC or comic book fans. You gotta be kind of well... It's not for the average reader to just pick up a book and be like, "Oh, that's amazing." You it's amazing for, or really interesting for people who are well versed in kind of comic book culture, I would say. So it was really good issue, really good book. I don't know if it's easy for somebody who may not know all those references to latch onto and get excited for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to read it before you move on to reading any of the DC Rebirth books that you were interested in? Would you want to read that one shot?
No.
No? Sounds confusing?
Yeah.
Your face right now looks like I've asked you the hardest question in the universe, and your life depends on it.
Or a math question.
But yeah. It looks like I've actually cracked the code to nuclear...
I don't know. My mind is just not computing what you're like.
Not at all.
The whole thing of him being three people, then it being that Jason really bothered Todd, you. And then this thing. Like, I'm gonna have to listen to myself and you talk about this, because I.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little cloudy in there right now.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Any other previews, trailers that you want to talk about before we get into the movie?
What other trailers? Or did they show?
I don't, you know what?
Those two ruined it for me, man.
Yeah, they did. There was the Assassin's Creed. Don't really care.
With Christian Bale?
No, that was actually Fassbender in that one.
Oh, who's
Michael Fassbender. Magneto.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, I wasn't into that.
It's a video game. Based on a video game. Yeah, it's based on a video game.
Oh, yeah, because I'm like, what is happening? He was, oh, that's right. And then the French cycle was in there, too, mm-hmm. Right in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it. I didn't know if it was, like, time travel or, yeah. or universe, like...
French cycle, Marion Cotillard.
Yeah.
Talia al Ghul.
Yeah, it was kind of like you're dying, and then it's like, is it an afterlife, but is it a different, like, what is this? What is this happening?
Alternate reality?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, your gestures. No one listening knows this. I got to put a camera on you.
Yeah, it just seemed like a whole lot of all over the place, and I wasn't able to really follow what was going on.
Got it.
So.
That one didn't really pique my interest, but Suicide Squad, I know I'm going to watch that, and Independence Day, I don't know. I don't even know. Yeah, maybe.
But then, the feature film.
The feature film. The third installment to the rejuvenated X-Men franchise.
Antique
Frenchman accent?
Well, because they're all franchise? It's all older. It all takes place in the past, right? So it's kind of like...
I get what you're saying.
You know what
I get
mean?
What you're saying, yes.
It's because there's two... For me, there's two different X-Men. There's the ones that are garbage.
No.
And then there's the ones that were, like, revamped but told... In the past. What?
The ones that are garbage. Okay, fair enough. You're entitled to that opinion. And in some ways, I would agree that there's garbage in those original three movies.
Yeah.
Although I like the first two.
Meh.
The second one is the best one still. X2.
The United. Third one was terrible.
Third one's terrible.
Even and this movie said so.
Let's get into it. Do you want to read the synopsis or should I?
I didn't practice, but I'll try.
I love that you... I like making you read it off the hop.
Worshipped as a god since the dawn of civilization. No.
Read it with... Like, you're doing the trailer and you got to get people to go watch it. Come on.
But you just cut me off.
Give them your best movie trailer voice.
Worshipped as a god since the dawn of civilization, the immortal Apocalypse, Oscar Isaac, who was also played Poe. Poe in Star Wars.
That's correct.
Becomes the first and most powerful mutant. Awakening after thousands of years, he recruits the disheartened Magneto and other mutants to create a new world order. As the fate of the Earth hangs in the balance, Professor X and Raven lead a team of young X-Men to stop their seemingly invisible nemesis from destroying mankind.
Well done.
I want to have that job. In a world. That. Have you seen that movie?
No.
It's a good movie. You should watch it. Yeah. It's about that.
About voiceovers.
Voices.
Voices?
Voices in the movie industry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an art form, really.
I know it is.
Mm-hmm.
I should do it.
You should. You should do it.
I'd love, that would be my mutant power.
Voices. Or you should read audiobooks for a living.
I'd love to read audiobooks for a living.
You do it anyway. Might as well get paid for it.
I read for you.
That's what I'm saying.
Can we talk about the movie other than reading as
You're
a hobby?
You're the one that brought it up.
Fair enough. Daft J, what did you think of X-Men Apocalypse? With all the comic book movies that are coming out, where does this, how does, you know, did you have anticipation? Were you excited or are you exhausted?
I was not excited.
No.
Okay. Like I said, it was more like, oh, there's a movie trailer and... Yeah, I gotta watch it, because I gotta know what's happening.
Okay.
I've invested so many years in these other stories. Of course, I'm a completist.
Yeah.
I gotta finish it.
Okay. So give me the pros. What did you like about this movie?
Pros. Are we doing... What are we doing here?
We're talking.
Lead
the way.
I found this movie to have... A bit of both. My pros, what I particularly liked and I thought was endearing was that Magneto, despite how he felt and left off in the last movie with his hatred of mankind and all this business, he managed to move on.
Okay.
He managed to find, to have a family, spoilers, to have a family, and without parading it, taking the advice of his old friend and just moving on with life, finding his place somewhere, and just living a beautiful, simple, deer-feeding life.
Mm.
Just being a family man, having a job, blending in.
Right.
It's like,
He found peace.
He found peace. He almost, it's almost like he admitted defeat, but not like, not proud to admit it, and just kind of took the good with the bad and be like, you know what? I'm not gonna win. It's a useless thing warring with these people. Let me just make the most of my life and move on. And right. he did that. And right. it was really nice to see that he was just finally at peace with himself. And that was nice.
That was nice. That's your pro, to see that Magneto was happy.
That was a pro.
Okay.
Yeah. But what about your pro?
My pro. Okay, well.
We can go back and forth.
Back and forth. Okay, so. I already liked the fact that Bryan Singer was back directing the X-Men movies, because I felt like he got everything going on the right foot initially with the X-Men franchise. Superhero movies in general, I thought that he gave it life. Someone's eating their candy.
And Malteser.
No chips this time.
No chips.
Okay. So I felt it was promising that they were going to follow up on the post-credit scene from Days of Future Past, which I really liked Days of Future Past. I thought that was well done and a good sequel to First Class. And what I liked about, I know we're talking about Apocalypse, but what I liked about Days of Future Past was that it refreshed, it pressed the refresh button on the X-Men movie franchise. So with this one, I was having like, okay, they got a plan. They introduced the post-credits Apocalypse at the end, and that's exciting to see that they're going to go big and tell even more interesting stories in different eras of X-Men and introduce characters that way through decades, you know? So you're going to see Storm. You're going to see a new or a young version of Jean Grey and all that kind of stuff, and seeing how the Days of Future Past reality has now affected a future one. So I haven't mentioned anything about Apocalypse yet, but I like that they go back to Egypt and give the character weight as far as why people would consider him a god, because he originally popped up in this era of Egyptian gods and temples being built, and if there wasn't a mutant or someone with mutant powers existing at that time, naturally people would come to those conclusions because that's how they would think, right? So I like that setup, that premise at the beginning of the movie. I was looking forward to seeing Psylocke in the movie and what part they play, and the fact that I didn't know, because there's many different versions of or stories of Apocalypse, the villain, and the role that he plays in the X-Men universe. There's the most popular one. I know I'm talking a little too much, just bear with me. The most popular one is called Age of Apocalypse. Now, I haven't read it, but I've heard.
Oh no, a puppy's having a nightmare.
Having a nightmare. Okay, don't worry. We're just talking about a comic book. So the Age of Apocalypse comic book. What it was, I never read it, but I've heard and read about it enough to know, is that they took, it was a time travel story. Someone went back in time, and Charles Xavier was killed. And because Charles Xavier is killed before he properly forms the X-Men, all of history changes. So because of that, Apocalypse wins and takes over, and there's a reality created by him. So everything that you think you know about the X-Men, the way you read them in the comic books, has changed. And why it was a really cool story from what I've heard in the comic books was that all the X-Men titles completely stopped. So everyone was like, it's canceled. That's it. Everything we know and loved about the X-Men has been flipped on its head, and we've got these new X-Men stories. And we don't know if our old X-Men are ever coming back. So I wasn't sure, going into this movie, if they were going to try to do an Age of Apocalypse story, since they did Days of Future Past, which was all time shifting and ripples through time. I wasn't sure if they were going to do a story like that, where this deity of a mutant takes over and reality is all up on its head, and the X-Men have to try to get things back to normal, and Magneto is now the leader because Charles Xavier is dead. I wasn't sure what to expect. So.
But you were excited.
Yeah, I was, of course. I'm looking forward. I really liked the last X-Men movie, so I thought it would be promising.
See, for me, it's very... Okay. I see what you're saying. Want a Malteser?
No, it's okay.
You should have one.
Thank you.
I see what you're saying. I, on the other hand, although Apocalypse was obviously the enemy, which this opinion is probably going to be a little ridiculous, I didn't like that it was deity heavy.
Okay.
It was almost like... Like, I go to the movies to escape and kind of just be entertained. And this, I felt like it was just myth, like mythology and all this stuff kind of just going down my throat. It was almost too much. And constantly being reminded that there's just this really, really, really bad guy who has this complex and is just want to remind everyone that he's the guy.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like I'm not explaining myself. I just thought it was just really, really in your face. Like, he was putting people in the wall and their eyes are still shifting. Like, I'm like, okay, what do you do with a guy like that?
Yeah, I just felt like the premise of it was so... The threat level was so high that I didn't understand why he didn't just win. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's...
Why he would need help.
Thank you for putting my words together.
No, I totally understood what you were saying. I just think that...
And why they wouldn't even think that they had a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to when you have, like, when it's mutant on mutant, or mutant on people, or... Or society, or yeah. Or like, there. Oh, another nightmare. What's okay. Happening here?
It's okay, buddy. Keep going, mama.
So yeah, I just thought it was very over the top, and it already felt like we kind of lost before it even started. Yeah. And I think it kind of dragged out too. It was just more just the build up of this unstoppable force, and then, you know, if you saw the movie, the X-Men 1.
Yeah, of course. Okay, this, I have a problem with the X-Men franchise again. I felt like I was good with it after Days of Future Past, but it's the same thing that I criticize the DC... Or the Warner Brothers franchise now with Fox, I feel it's the same thing. When it's not being done the way Marvel Studios has set things up, it's just like, with this movie, I felt like the timeline was messed up again. I didn't know who was who, or why these characters, like, where did... Because you're introduced to... Okay, this is going to get a little bit deep and kind of confusing. Try to follow me here. You remember you watched the X-Men Origins with Wolverine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that movie, I'm not sure what era or decade that takes place in, if it's the 80s or if it's the 70s. I'm not sure. You're never told, really.
But Stryker's young, so that Stryker's gives you a timeline.
So it gives you... Yeah, exactly. So it could be...
That Jack.
Right. So, in that movie with Wolverine, the Wolverine Origins movie, there is a... Scott Summers there, right? He's mm-hmm. he's kidnapped by Stryker and yep. put on that. So that's erased. But that wasn't erased. That reality wasn't erased until Days of Future Past. So in the first class, X-Men First Class movie, which is with the takes place in the 60s with Jennifer Lawrence and that group of characters, you've got Havoc, which is Scott Summers' brother, Cyclops' brother, the guy from his chest, he's got the energy beam, right? He's again in this movie. I just feel like when was he born? When was Scott Summers? What's the age difference? How old are all of these characters? Are they aging? Because it doesn't look like it. It's been 20 years pretty much since the beach incident. Everybody mm-hmm. still looks like it was only 5 years ago.
Was it 20 years or 10?
No, well, it's 10 years. It's 10 years since the Days of Future Past. Since that event where they were in Washington, D.C.
They were in Cuba.
The first movie there in Cuba, that takes place in the 60s, where they stopped the
where missile crisis. Where he goes into the chair.
Right, where he first becomes...
You say missile?
Missile. Missile.
Isn't it a missile?
It's all. It's either or.
It's not, though. You should say missile.
No, you just like missile. Missile. I'm going to say missile.
That's annoying.
So I'm watching this, and I'm getting pulled out of it, because the timeline for me is all confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I know they've restarted it, but they also reference or bring characters in that were already included before. And I didn't like the recasting of some of these characters. I didn't like Jean Grey. I didn't like that. It really bothered me for some reason. I'm sorry, I have a Malteser in my mouth after it got me hooked.
So that's a con.
I just feel so convoluted.
I didn't like her at first. And then I liked her. And then I grew an attachment to her shoulder pads. I thought it was... No, like... Because then again, it's bringing you into the timeline that they're probably in.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Jubilee was all like bright and like very 80s looking with the big hoop earrings and the ponytails kind of thing. Yeah. And then you saw like Nightcrawler with like the Michael Jackson Thriller jacket. So I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Where are we?
Yeah, exactly. Because you know...
But it's subtly hinted, I guess.
You know you're in the 80s. It's 1983, they say, right? That's the year they give it on the movie. So you know this movie's taking place in the 80s. But that's a good point. Because I'm not saying they can't change or redo stuff. But Nightcrawler is introduced in X2 when he tries to assassinate the president.
Yes.
Now he shows up in the 80s. In this,
as a child,
as a young, yeah. So I'm just like, my knowledge and understanding of these movies, I always have to over explain things to myself while I'm watching them in order to
put myself in it. But are these supposed to be one with the other? Because then again, I don't know if I'm following correctly. Because wasn't the Angel mutant a good guy, and he was kind of like this rusty. Not rusty, but like this rustic kind of
heavy metal, yeah,
underground fighter kind of just making his way through life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought he, like, I don't know. I don't really know the X-Men origins as well. I mean, I know the cartoon. I've never read a comic book with the X-Men, but like, what story am I supposed to be following
or be aware of? And that's I think maybe petty for me to be worried about, but I just feel like These are all characters who have been used and introduced, and now they're reoccurring and being reintroduced. What am I supposed to know about them? Am I supposed to not know anything about them? Because certain things about these characters are essential to the storytelling. So here's the thing to anybody that's listening, and me, I am not an X-Men expert.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But I have read essential key stories of the X-Men to kind of have a foundation. But I also know that because the X-Men comics from the 80s into the 90s were pumping out stories so much because they were the backbone of Marvel. Not Avengers. X-Men were. Them and Spider-Man. And their continuity became so convoluted, even within the comic books, that something like the Age of Apocalypse that I had referred to before kind of helped fix things and readjust them and set things anew, right? So, for instance, I could be mistaken, but Nightcrawler, and I'm pretty sure of this, is the son of...
Mystique.
Mystique. That's her son in the comic books. And I also am pretty sure that Rogue... is also her child or stepdaughter. That she has a maternal relationship or connection to those two characters. Yes. I'm almost 100% sure that that is comic book history. Magneto is the father to Wanda, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver.
Yeah.
and Jean Grey is the Phoenix, but from what I know of her, the Phoenix isn't just a natural power that she's capable of. She has the telekinetic and the telepathy powers, which are very, very strong, but the Phoenix Force is something that is cosmic. It isn't something that she just has herself that she's born with. That's her mutant power. So when I'm watching these movies and trying to put together the storyline of who fits in where, I just find it very confusing. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really gotten into the details of the movie yet, and I'm sorry it's been 45 minutes into this thing, but I'm confused when I'm watching it.
I feel like this conversation or this, the way we're going about this is a reflection of what we thought of what the movie is. It's just a lot of happening with a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
For example, one of my other cons was, again, are we starting from scratch? Is this a continuation? I didn't really like how Raven or Mystique makes a reappearance in the lives of Charles and Magneto when there was a very public dispute between her and Eric, her and Charles. Like, she didn't want anyone in her head. She didn't want anyone manipulating her. She was a target. And all of a sudden, oh, there's Danya. Look, she's right there.
That is... Get back to what you're saying,
people. No, but look, that's Colby's friend.
Okay. Oh, very cute. Very cute.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So she has it out with these people. She basically says, I don't want nothing to do with you guys. Leave me alone.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, she's like, something's going on with Eric. We need to help him. And she goes to Charles for this. When she's the one that, like, it was kind of like a forced re-entrance into this story. And I was just like, but I'm not sure. Why are you here? Like, she's a cool character. I like her a lot. I love how she's portrayed, but it was almost just a far-fetched introduction to the story.
I like that you brought her up. That's a good point, because I think that's with this movie franchise currently, that is now my biggest area of contempt, is that Jennifer Lawrence is the
Mockingjay.
She's the Mockingjay, but she is the ticket seller for these movies. She's their star. This is her movie franchise. The same way Hunger Games was, these movies are being built around her. Hmm. And making her a character that is likable and making her the heroine, mm-hmm, of these movies and these stories. Where from my knowledge and familiarity with Mystique, at the end of the day, she's a villain.
Right.
The X-Men, their villains and friends' paths cross, and sometimes they're on the same side for certain things. But for the most part, Mystique is a villain. She's part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which was something that Magneto was the leader of initially. And her motives are usually selfish and for the superiority of mutant kind.
That all being said, I like that there's a bit of a change.
But it's done because it's Jennifer Lawrence. Do you get what I'm saying? It's being done because she is the character and she's in order to...
So Rebecca Stamos couldn't be good?
But see, in the Rebecca Stamos version, she was always very clear as to...
Yeah, but Mystique has always been, in my books, has always been the bad guy. This one, on the other hand, has always kind of been on the fence about stuff.
Right.
Because they introduced her as having a relationship with Charles from when she was a kid.
Which is fine, but...
So I like that story arc. I like the fact that it's taken from a different angle. Like, you don't necessarily have to stick to the story that's on paper, as long as it's being told correctly and there's a build up but
I think that's the problem I have, right, is that there's so many mutants and X-Men characters that you can use and put on the screen. So I think sometimes when I watch these movies, I feel like certain story arcs are being tampered with for the sake of introducing or inserting said villain or mutant or hero because we can. Because you can basically throw anybody in there.
So you're saying it's messy.
It's messy. And it's like, instead of just putting in this character because they happen to be popular in the comics and people know them, put the right person in for the sake of the story. And you don't necessarily have to stick to the order of this is the way it goes. You got to do this story, this story, this story. But if you're going to, if you want to go there, if you want to do a Phoenix story, then let's do the Phoenix story. Let's make them encounter some sort of cosmic force or other type of alien life form out there and make them be in contact with it and it affects Jean Grey. Let's go there. Let's flesh out that story and do it properly as opposed to just hinting and showing glimpses of, oh, look, that's cool. That looks just like Psylocke. Oh, they showed her in the Phoenix, you know, she became the Phoenix in that moment, because you get to see that in this movie where people always complain, oh, they did the Phoenix storyline wrong in X-Men Last Stand, which they did. But if you're going to go there, let's go there. And I just feel like this was your end of times story, right? Let's give a cameo to Wolverine and make it just like the comic book look.
I really like that cameo, though.
It was really cool.
I liked his cameo. That's a pro. That's on my pro side.
Okay, give me some more of your pros, because I'm talking a lot, and I'm not really... I don't feel like I'm giving you the meat of this movie. I'm just kind of explaining my confusion. Give me more of your notes.
Yeah, Wolverine cameo.
Okay.
Eric showed me a comic book with Wolverine and his helmet getup. So, yeah, very true to that, like, taking pieces from the comics, like, when he had that whole, like, thing. That was fun for me. I get why he exited, and that was probably the smartest thing to do, but I always do get excited when I see Wolverine in the X-Men movie. Like, he's my favorite character. I love Wolverine.
Right.
I love how he's portrayed. I love the way Hugh Jackman plays him and the look, everything. Everything right. about him. The fight scenes, everything's amazing. So I get why they let him go, but I was kind of like, no, stay. Because then how cool would it have been for Charles to be like, do you remember me kind of thing? And then he would have helped him with his telekinesis to kind of bring things back. But then it's like, well, I guess he has a story of trying to piece his past together, but then it's like, well, save the man his this misery and help him out now. Like, I don't know. It was kind of like, but then it's like, well, as cool as it was for him to be there, it's kind of like, well, why introduce him then if he's just going to take off anyway?
And it's retreading too much of the same. For me, I feel like when they include certain people, they're retreading too much of the same storyline that we've already seen to change it for, like, here, we're going to tell you again, we're going to change it. We're mm-hmm. going to alter the way it happened. Because what they showed in that movie with that cameo, it looked very true to, like, oh, wow, that's Weapon X,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they referenced it, and it was like, he breaks out, and he's just this feral beast, which is like the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
But they already, in the X-Men Origins, that's what they did. That was a story they tried to tell, was mm-hmm. him being given the adamantium, breaking out of there, killing people along the way, and running away in the woods.
Right.
They've already told that story. So now they're saying, no, we're going to tell it our way, what you've already seen. And it's the same actor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's Stryker again.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you keep bringing back these things that, because just to almost like, okay, you know who these are, so we're going to include them. It's like, I'm kind of tired of that. If you're going to tell the Apocalypse story, make that the story. You want to include Moira McTaggart? That's cool. But you don't got to bring back Stryker again. And the Wolverine thing was almost unnecessary,
mm-hmm.
I felt. Like, it was cool to see, but it didn't really... It was more like, see, there's Wolverine. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And I just didn't think they needed that. I don't think you needed Jean Grey. I don't think you needed Cyclops in this movie.
I don't think you needed it. Now, that goes back to, again, another pro that I had. I liked... You're right. I don't think we needed it. But it was kind of cool to have Cyclops and Jubilee and Jean Grey and kind of see them not as the X-Men, but becoming like kind of like a coming of age stage of their life. Like, they're kind of getting to know each other. Their powers aren't exactly there. They're still not in full control. And you can see how Xavier is building his school, making it become something where, like, you're seeing his dream come alive.
Yeah.
We've always seen it already in full form and fruition.
Yeah.
But you're being introduced to a part of this history that we've never really tapped into before.
And I like that. I do like seeing the backstory of these people when they're young, not just like, oh, look, they're all adults. There's the X-Men. I do like that. But yeah. I feel if you're going to do that...
Just concentrate on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the... And this is, I guess, the purist in me. The original X-Men team was a group of five people that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
It was Beast. It was... Jean Grey, Scott Summers, Iceman, Bobby Drake, and the Angel. That was the team of five. And they all...
The Angel was in the original.
That's the original team, right?
Why would they make him a bad guy in this? Or whatever he was.
He becomes one of Apocalypse's horsemen.
But, well, so apparently was Storm.
But that's just something they added as a way to include her in this new X-Men universe.
But they could have easily included her as just a pupil that they found on the road.
Right.
Like they did with everybody else.
Right. So it was just some of their choices that they made to insert and include people in a new telling of it. Mm-hmm. Kind of threw me out of the story. The look of everybody was good. Like they made Storm look very much like a 1980s version of Storm.
And she had an accent. Thank goodness.
The white hair mohawk was very much a callback to Storm in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a storyline in the 80s where Storm and Cyclops fight for leadership of who's going to be the leader of the X-Men. So there was that moment in the last battle scene where you see her and Cyclops have a little bit of a battle with the eyes versus the Storm, which was...
I've never felt that Cyclops' power was of any use to anyone.
No,
me
neither. It's a handicap.
I think so.
But that's what the original X-Men, why it would be interesting, because each of them could have been looked at as a handicap because they are odd, they don't fit in, one guy can't open his eyes without the ruby quartz, and it's how they put all of their things together that Xavier trains them to use their abilities together to become a team.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would have, for me, I wish if they're going to restart it, I like First Class where it's like, let's just go fresh. Here's your new version of the X-Men team, an origin of when they're young and how everything's built, but I get all confused when I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like things are inserted for the sake of, look how cool this looks. We're going to reintroduce Jean Grey so we could tell a Jean Grey story next time. And yeah, that's it. I just didn't. And it was long.
It was really, and that's what I'm saying. It was really long. And but a lot of it was kind of just dialogue and just recruiting people and just...
I didn't know why I should care about any of these characters.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It was long-winded.
And very Jennifer Lawrence-centered. She's the hero. She's the inspiration for the mutants. Everybody looks to her to be like her. And it's like, no. She's a villain. She's got issues that cause problems. She shouldn't be the role model.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'm pro mixing up and changing stuff around, but she's not the face of the X-Men.
But
in this
case, she is.
She is. But it's supposed to be Charles Xavier. It's supposed to be his school. They're supposed to show, and they did his teaching ability and compassion and understanding and. And I'm not saying they didn't do it in this movie, but that's what draws these people who are so full of power but feel vulnerable to him.
Yeah.
Right? It was everybody else who are like, yeah, I remember when you did that and you're my hero since then. Yeah, you changed my life. And they're saying this all to Mystique. And I'm like, that's not expected. different, not expected.
Yeah.
On the plus side, though, did you have a favorite mutant in this movie? Someone that you liked? Or favorite disliked? Mutant.
Disliked? I disliked... Huh. I don't like the... I don't... I liked him in the last movie. I didn't like Quicksilver in this movie. I don't like that whole scene where, spoilers, the school blows up and he runs in and saves everybody. Mm-hmm. The way, like, it was clever how he, like, little things he did.
Yeah, but they did that last time.
And they did, yeah, and it was just like, okay, everyone liked that scene in the one room that he could possibly do that in, but now it's like you're overblowing it and Quicksilver's not that fast. And that's a nitpick because of my... You know, comic book, oh, that guy's faster than this guy. He's not as fast as the Flash, whatever. Quicksilver just...
So is it his character that you disliked or how he was portrayed in this movie? Because you liked him in the last one.
I liked him in the last one and the little bit that he was in it and how he was used. I just felt like now they tried to overuse him and use that same bit again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, we've seen this already. And trying to make those parts funny where, like, he saves someone, then he takes a sip of her drink, and it's just like, okay.
Speaking of Quicksilver, I don't want to change the subject yet again, but speaking on him, I was kind of... I didn't like how he all of a sudden had daddy issues.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden that became the reason why he was... going after Magneto, and then he just wanted to tell him, and then he didn't.
Yeah.
And then I was just kind of like, when did this become a problem?
A lot of things are set up that are unresolved. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People's motivations are just left hanging in the balance. Mm-hmm. That I just feel like...
Yeah.
They have a reason to be there, but it's never dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to get to that final action sequence in Egypt. You know? And I just felt like... And then how you... How they get to defeating Apocalypse while he's on the verge of easy victory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, okay... Is it the mind game between him and Xavier? How did I... Like, how is that affecting him?
I think that was the first time, spoilers, that I saw Xavier fight anyone.
And it was all in, like...
And to fight anyone with their fists.
Yeah.
With his fists.
And it wasn't even, like, really happening. It was all, like, a mental chess game type of deal. I don't know. I sound like... Okay. I enjoyed the experience of watching the movie, but was I, impressed that I'm like, wow, that was really... Like, I gotta bring people to watch this? No.
Yeah. No. So, favorite character? So, your least favorite was Quicksilver.
Okay, my least favorite is usually Cyclops.
Oh, still.
Yeah. My favorite...
He seemed like such a whiner in this movie. I mean, hard times, I get it. I mean, you blew up your school and then your brother died. But everything's just like... But then when he got his glasses, all of a sudden he's like, I want to go to the mall. It's like, what? But then I'm thinking, okay, he's a child, so maybe this is normal?
You mentioned that whole thing of like, yeah, let's go to the mall. Let's go to the, I'd like to go to the mall. Like, when Nightcrawler was suddenly interested, I thought there was some really cheesy lines in this movie. When Beast went to rescue Rogue, when Beast went to rescue Mystique, he has to tell him, I've got you now. You'll be safe here. Stay here. Did you notice that? In that sequence where he's going to help everybody once he's freed.
Okay.
I'm just like, this is really, I don't know. I just took me out of it. Favorite mutant though? I liked Wolverine. I liked Wolverine as much as I thought. Daphne, you have your hand up. Would you like to tell us who your favorite mutant was?
Okay. I really liked, I don't know. Well, I know why, but anyway, I really liked the Purple Wonder Xena. I thought she was really BA.
Who? Psylocke?
Yeah, is that...
Olivia Munn?
The one that was in New Girl.
Yeah, Olivia Munn. Psylocke, yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, she has a name.
Yes, Psylocke.
I didn't know. She looks like a cross between Wonder Woman and Xena the Warrior Princess. Her outfit was so banging. She has a beautiful body. her hair in the wind was perfect. Her, like, her look, everything. I thought it was great. Although, I'm trying to understand, was it the power that she got that made her turn? What was she? Was she a guardian? Was she a bodyguard? What was she to this clown that was...
She was one of his horsemen.
I understand that, but before she becomes horseman, she was just, like, what? She was a bouncer?
That's a good question.
Like, what was she doing?
I really don't know.
And then for this deity all of a sudden to be like, ooh, purple lights, let me give you everything. Like, I'm like, what was it about her that was so But however, I liked her overall. Like, I thought she was great. But then she kind of chickened out and just took off.
She's got some other ulterior motives. And I that was the thing. I know a little bit about her.
And if she's in here...
It's a very good adaptation. I'm showing Daft J a picture from X-Men, Jim Lee's...
She's blue in this thing.
Her hair... Well, her suit is blue, but her hair's purple, like it was in the movie. They did a really good job at casting her, and...
Oh, she has a red belt, too.
Yeah, they did an excellent job at the costume, and... That's what I mean. There's stuff that looked really cool. I was like, yeah, that's it. That's cool. But she's an X-Men.
Is she?
She's an X-Men. She's not a villain.
She's not?
No, she's part of the X-Men. She's really, she's got, she's
maybe
really
she'll
powerful.
Come back as a good guy. I don't know.
That's the thing. I was just kind of like, what is everyone's motivations here? What is their backstory? Give me reason to care. Don't just put them there for me to see them and be like, oh, that's cool. There's Psylocke. Because there's so many mutants.
Psylocke. What does that mean?
She's got, I think it's a reference also to her powers because she's got.
So what does she do? She just has like lights come out of her and she can do what she wants with it?
But she also has, I think. Oh, man. I'm going to sound so stupid now. She also has psychic powers as well.
She does?
Yeah. She's got mental powers as well.
Why didn't they tap into that in the movie? I didn't know that. First of all, I didn't know she was an X-Men.
Yeah.
And I didn't know she had that ability.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, she's cooler than I thought.
She's very cool, and she's a very interesting character within the X universe. But... That was the thing.
But being a psychic then, wouldn't she then be able to tap into his mind and know that he was not good
I
don't know.
I don't know.
Another plus.
Yeah.
Charles Xavier is finally bald.
The reason why is stupid to me.
Probably. Maybe. Yes, you're right. But he's bald.
Yeah, finally. That's a plus.
I don't know. I'm trying to help the movie a little bit.
Okay, well, give me some more. Give me some more pluses and cons. Pros and cons. Pluses and minuses.
Okay, this is what I have on my little paper here. I wrote down Jean Grey's Phoenix makes an appearance, and then right next to it, under my cons column, I'm like, the Phoenix appears out of nowhere? But I think we tapped into that a little bit.
Yeah.
That was there. I wrote down under my cons, was Storm bad and then good? Flip-flop emotions. That's, I think we tapped into that too.
Yep.
And Mystique is good again? Is she now a part of the X-Men? Like, she's training them at the end when she tells them forget what they... Like, she
seems like it, right? Seems like it.
Is she living at the house now?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
she, like, swore never again yeah. to, like, have anything to do with these people?
And it's a, and she's wearing clothes.
And first of all, before we get into anything, what was she do? Is she, like, on a... Just a... What is it when you're alone? A soul mission on just saving mutants? Like,
yeah.
What was she doing going to this underground mutant passport embassy? What was this place? I didn't understand. Is she saving mutants? Is she like...
I don't know. I mean, you started to see her motivations a little more when she heard about what happened to Magneto. That... A bunch of police officers died at his hand, and also possibly his daughter and his wife, and now he was a fugitive on the run. She knew that there was something wrong, and that she needed to help before things got out of hand again. But you really don't know, because there hasn't been any activity since Magneto went missing. There hasn't been any mutant activity, no progression, no team, no X-Men. So it just felt... Okay, again... I'm sorry, everybody, because if this is confusing, it's because I was confused as I watched it. So I'm not trying to confuse you with this review and not have a conclusive opinion. But X-Men Last Stand.
Which one's that one now?
Part 3. The one where Charles Xavier gets blown up by Jean Grey, the Phoenix.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In that movie, Jubilee is in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. They, a little cameo of a Jubilee.
Yep.
That movie takes place in 2005. 2005, 2006. That's when it takes place in real time. This movie, Jubilee, exists...
in the 80s.
In 1983. I'm just trying to figure out what I'm supposed to know.
Are we supposed to be associating one with the other? Like, is this just a whole revamp and we're not supposed to look at...
That's the thing, because in Days
of Future... But Wolverine has been in the past and in the future.
Right.
And even in the future.
Right. Exactly. You just confused me and you, but you make perfect sense. You make perfect sense. Because in the Days of Future Past... Patrick Stewart is still Charles Xavier, right? The actor.
Yes.
All of those people are each other's counterparts, old and young, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those realities, all of Wolverine's memories of Jean Grey dying and going through all of those things, that's the future version of him experienced everything we watched in those movies. When he goes back in time, everything that you've
watched... And Magneto was on his side.
Yes. Yes.
Just like he's kind of on his side now.
When he comes to his senses, yes. And he starts to cry at the end of this movie. So that's the thing, is...
I don't even know what I just said.
I'm confused. I'm just confused.
One teaser?
Thank you.
Just to make you a little happy.
So, what would you rate it? Out of 10. Not like PG or R.
I'm giving it a 7.
That's generous.
I didn't hate it.
It was fun.
And I'm also giving it the rating that I'm giving it because I don't know everything about all of these characters the way I feel I know, for example, Captain Rogers or Bruce Wayne or...
You're so cute. Captain Rogers. Not Captain America. Not Steve Rogers. A little bit of both.
Yeah. Like, there I feel like I can have a little bit more of an opinion because I feel like I'm a little bit more educated on certain characters. On these, I don't really know. Like, heck, I didn't even know that Warrior Xena had an actual name.
Psylocke.
And that she was an X-Men herself. I didn't know that. So, if I'm basing it more on entertainment value. I was a little bit tired with the over-the-top deity story, although I understand that that was the main villain. However, we didn't tap into the type of power that he had until the very, very end. And then they just got rid of him like that.
Yeah, and what he's really capable of. I mean, if you're going to use that villain, go for it. Let's.
Yeah, why are we taking forever to understand what he can do?
Yeah, and I think with that in mind, I think it comes back to... So with Marvel Studios, for instance, and I don't like comparing all the time, but you have to. They know that they're going to make this movie down the line. They already know a few steps ahead. We're going to be telling you this story. Don't you worry. And they're never concerned about the next opportunity. They know another movie's coming. Whereas with the X movies, they don't know if this is going to be their last chance.
Well, maybe that's why we're confused with their continuity because they're just telling stories as they come.
They just throw everything they can. Like, the studio wants us to introduce this many new characters, and we gotta make sure that we clear this much money. Let's throw everything we can while we still can, because we don't know whether or not the next movie will have the green light to be made if we go this direction. And I feel like that's part of the reason why some of these movies suffer. I'm telling you, if Marvel Comics never sold the X-Men movie rights to 20th Century Fox, we would not have Avengers today. So that could be a good thing. But the Marvel Studios movies would have been totally X-Men based. And Fantastic Four base first. And then they would have gone into these other stuff.
Hmm.
But when you think about it, who were for the long X-Men cartoon was when we were kids, right? Yeah. Because that's what was big in comics. It was the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
The most successful comic book artists and writers all committed to doing X-Men first, and then they became household names. Jim Lee is Jim Lee because he drew X-Men.
He was in this movie too, like he is in all of them, but he didn't say a word. Stanley, he looked a little worried.
Stanley, not Jim Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. That's sorry.
Yeah.
The Lees.
The Lees.
I got confused. I confused the Lees. But Stanley was in this one.
Yes, he was.
He didn't do anything.
No.
He just stood there. Do you think that was his actual wife?
I think so.
That's really sweet.
That was sweet. He's an old man. I know that's obvious, but I'm really happy that he's still alive and kicking. He's like 94.
He was an executive producer.
Yeah.
I paid attention to the credits.
Didn't know anything about the post-credit scene. No idea what was happening there.
No, and I'm like, what? What is this? And it said, okay, it said Essex Corp. When I see the word Essex, I think of an Essex retainer. Like, I'm just like, orthodontics, fabric, like, I'm just thinking plastic. I don't understand what this is. And I don't know who came in and got the blood sample of Weapon X and who's going to take it where. Don't know what's going on.
You know what would be a good name for a dentist? Dr. Yankum.
Did you come up with that all by yourself?
No, it was a wrestler. His name was Isaac Yankum, the dentist.
Wow.
Yeah.
The dentist.
Yeah, he was like Isaac the evil Yankum. Dentist, Isaac Yankum. And you know who he became? Kane, Undertaker's brother.
Oh.
It's a story for another day. It's a little wrestling
trivia for you. I liked Kane, though.
Yeah. He was originally an evil dentist called Isaac Yankum.
So what made him change his whole persona?
The head offices decided to go a different direction.
That's did the all. Dentist retire?
No one knows what happened to the dentist officially.
I gave my overall rating. What would be yours? I'm sorry, it sounds like you were disappointed with this movie.
I was a little disappointed.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't too, like, I just felt overly, just it was too convoluted for me.
Mm.
So I'd give it a 6.5. There is a point in the movie where the kids go watch Star Wars at the theater when they go to the mall. And they're all saying, you know, Empire is still better than this movie. And then young Cyclops goes, well, there would be no franchise if it wasn't for A New Hope. So that's still the best one. And then Jean Grey cutely says, well, we all know that the third part is always the worst anyways. Which is a dig at X-Men Last Stand.
Okay, that's what we think. Is it really, though?
It is. It is, because Bryan Singer didn't direct that one. He directed X-Men 1 and 2,
ew.
And then it went to another director after that.
Ooh.
So it was a little shot. But this is now the
third installment
of the new X-Men universe, and I will say that it's the worst. It's the worst of the three for me. So, yeah, you made fun of yourself. So, yeah, I'd give it a 6. 6 out of 10.
Okay, and this iteration of X-Men versus the other ones, which one do you prefer?
At this point, it's tied for me.
What? Yeah. No, it's not that bad. Really?
Because X2 is a really good it's a really good movie. Whether or not you like...
Remind me, please, what first of all, what movie this is, who's in it, what happens, and why do you like it so much?
X2, first, the performance of Stryker in that movie is the best one. It's the older man Stryker, who, in the first appearance of Nightcrawler in the White House, and it's when they go to Alkaline Island, and Jean Grey dies. Because Professor Xavier...
Yeah, I don't like that one.
That one's good.
Nope, I don't like it.
Why?
It's... No.
When Wolverine takes the kids and they go to Bobby Drake's house, that one's good. No. He gets shot in the head.
No.
That's a good X-Men movie.
No, I don't like it.
And you don't like the first one with Rogue?
No.
I like those first two movies. They were good. Last Stand, not so much. Wolverine Origins, not so much. I like the Wolverine solo movie that came out where he goes to Japan. That one I enjoyed. And I liked First Class and Days of Future Past. But overall,
which one was the one where Gambit was in it?
Oh, that one's horrible.
Which X-Men, one was
that's
in
X-Men Origins.
Is it?
Yeah.
I like Gambit, though.
You like that actor.
I like that actor, and I liked the way he played Gambit. But you're right, that movie wasn't... That wasn't... So, you gonna ask me or what?
Which one do you prefer?
Okay, I like the Snyder versions. No? Wrong guy?
Wrong guy. Bryan Singer?
Singer! I like the Singer versions.
He's in both. He's done both.
I like the Singer versions later on in the past. If that's not confusing enough.
So you like the more recent ones?
Yes. Okay. And my favorite of the three is the second one.
Days of Future Past.
Yes.
Yes. That's my favorite X-Men movie of them all.
I think it's a great movie. I don't like the first one. I don't like the mutant fish in the first one. I'm not sure what his...
Which one was...
He dies really quickly in the first one. Oh, the
frog.
No. Oh, no. He was the one that can transform into anything to adapt to any type of environment. He was like a chameleon. How do you not remember? He put his face in the fish tank.
Oh, in First Class. See, there's just too many. I get confused.
See, but I'm how relevant is this person right now?
Right.
I didn't like Zoe Saldana. Nope, that's not her name. Zoe...
Kravitz.
I didn't like her...
I liked the First Class. That one I liked.
No, I only liked when they're on the beach.
Yeah, I mean...
And, all of the Russians and the Americans kind of ally together, and... Anyway, the second one's my favorite.
The second generation of X-Men movies are your favorite, and Days of Future
Past.
Yeah,
2 and 2.
I'm so confused. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you stayed around for our confusing review of X-Men Apocalypse. If you like the X-Men franchise, hey, go check it out and tell us what you thought about it. Email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or leave us a review on iTunes. We love when we get reviews. We read them when we receive them. And you can also visit us at caveofsolitude.com. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. I am Eric Anthony.
I'm Lady J.
And we will be talking to you soon. Take care.
Swoosh.
Okay, you want me to give you just a little bit of X-Men publishing history? Just a little bit? So you can understand my confusion?
Okay.
Fine, don't entertain me. I don't care if you listen to me. Okay, so...
But you have to understand how you present it. Understand my confusion. Well, how am I going to... I'm confused too.
Okay.
How am I going to help you?
So maybe I'll help you understand why. Okay, so... When the X-Men first were published with Stan Lee and Guy, Jack Kirby, he only was there for a year writing the books. And then it wasn't as big of a hit the way it later on became under Stan Lee's writing. It kind of was passed along from writer to writer. And then it wasn't even selling that well that they started to reprint the same stories again. So instead of them coming up with new stories, they're just like, here's a classic X-Men story. And this is... It was still... The numbering continued. So for a while, there was nothing new or exciting happening with X-Men. And then they decided, the authors, let's make an... reignite the X-Men, but let's put it as, an international team. So they got, the guy who created Wolverine. They also put together Nightcrawler, Colossus, and Storm. So, all of these different races of people. You had a Russian guy, you had a Canadian Wolverine, you had the African Queen, or whatever, that had a Storm. And then there was Cyclops and Jean Grey, as well as Beast, who later, I think, joined the team, right? So they redid the X-Men, threw the book back out there, and it was a whole new version of the X-Men that kind of became the one that we all knew and loved from the cartoon, right? It became so popular that the guy who wrote it, Chris Claremont, he started doing all these different spin-offs for X-Men. So Kitty Pryde was created during that time, and then there was a spin-off of Wolverine, and then the X-Men team kept on growing and getting bigger. And you had Emma Frost and Sebastian Shaw, that was played by Kevin Bacon. So Stryker.
Kevin Bacon.
Remember Kevin Bacon in the movie in X-Men First Class?
Oh, yeah, the bad guy.
Yeah, so all of these characters, the meat of what became the X-Men, all came out during this time, not from the 60s. dogs came out during like the 70s and 80s. And it became so popular, they had all these different spin-offs. So what they did was they made another team that became X-Factor, and then there was X-Force, and then there was New Mutants, and they were all part of like the X-Men family. Now, X-Factor, what it was Jean Grey after the whole Phoenix story happened. Later on down the line, she was resurrected. Jean Grey came back to life. So Cyclops reformed the original X-Men 5, the original characters, and he called it X-Factor. That was their separate team. They weren't part of the X-Men anymore. And it was the X-Factor team that first encountered Apocalypse. He became their main villain. So it was Beast, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Iceman, and Angel. These are like the elder statesmen of the X-Men, and this was their big bad guy that they said, can you please create us an A-list level Magneto villain for this group of X characters? And oftentimes, their storylines would crisscross with each other, right? So if there's a big event that happened, this book would continue in that book. And it's so convoluted and confusing, right? So this character, Apocalypse, now, you throw him into a story for the first time, which characters should you include to tell him the story? You know what I mean?
So you think they just grab pieces from all of these different X-family, X-pockets, and yeah. Just threw them into...
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, when I'm watching it, I don't know if I'm... should I know anything? Does it help me to know anything? What timeline am I following? Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you or no? I just confuse you more.
The only thing I'm sure about is that I think from that, like, going forward, I don't want to be taking any bridges anywhere. Like, we need to take the long way around.
It's true.
Like, the bridges are the first to go. Like, I can't do it. I'm not gonna do it. We need to go around. Take the scenic route. I'm not going down on a bridge. That's the only, if there's one thing that I've learned from this movie.
Bridges are the first to go.
Take the long way.